Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord, our King, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Daniel opens his eyes and he sees these beasts coming up out of the sea. And they're thrashing about and they're contending for power. He sees one who is pictured as a lion with wings, strong and majestic. He sees another who is pictured as a bear, chewing and devouring. He sees another who's pictured as a leopard, a leopard with four heads. And then he sees a last beast who is the most terrifying of all, and it has 10 horns on its head. What does it all mean? As Daniel gets this vision, an angel comes to him and explains, these are kings, one kingdom after another, who are going to follow this prophecy. And just like it is predicted, we have the Babylonian kingdom, followed by the Persian kingdom, followed by the Greeks and Alexander the Great, who split off into four kings, followed by the Roman Empire, which stretches into the days of Jesus, the destruction of Jerusalem, and on into the New Testament era. And somewhere out of that fourth kingdom comes this terrifying idea. And we start to look at this and wonder, does this all mean? And what will be the end of it? And are things so much different today? As we see beasts thrashing about, contending for power, we see ISIS rising up against the world and boasting of how they're going to conquer all people. We see Republicans and Democrats divided and arguing and accusing and mocking each other. This contention for power. And where will it all end? Daniel draws us into his vision so that we would begin at the end. And he would bring us to the very last days, Judgment Day itself, pictured together with Jesus' ascension. We have in verses 9 and 10, Judgment Day, and then in verses 13 and 14, Jesus' ascension brought together in this vision. And we read there, Daniel chapter 7, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I was watching in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. The best place to start is at the end. What will be the end of all of this? You see, the courtroom has been seated. The Ancient of Days, God the Father, who is from everlasting to everlasting, the Alpha and the Omega, is seated on his throne, and the books are opened. And we want to know what is in those books. We want to take a look into those books, and we want to see who's in and who's out. So we start flipping through the pages, looking for those people we know are not going to be in. We start looking for the really bad people. And we find a page that has a bio written about a rapist, an abuser. And then we flip and we find another page where we see one of these terrorists is written in, one who leads one of these organizations and is responsible for the murders of hundreds of innocent victims. And we flip through and we find a politician who's corrupt and who's been laundering money, who's cheated the system. And we start to say, boy, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad I don't have those things on my page. But what is on your page? What is on that page that has your name at the top of it when the books are opened? In the midst of this vision, we skipped over a couple of verses where we find a beast, that last and terrible beast, and he's rising up and he's speaking great things, pompous things. And you know what happens to him? When he stands up to boast before God, he's slain and he's cast into the fire. That's the voice of the devil that rises up and tries to proclaim how much better he is than other people. It's in this setting that all are called to be silenced. When the book is opened, there is only one who can come to read what is on those pages. And he comes on the clouds of heaven, and he approaches the Ancient of Days, and he goes where no one else can. One like the Son of Man. One like us. And yet where none of else among us could venture, he goes. He's clothed in flesh. And he simply receives the kingdom from God. While the beasts are boasting and thrashing about, he simply receives it. God just gives it to him. Because we know what he's done. He's contended with the beasts. He's entered into our world to face those beasts as they shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They put a crown of thorns on the head of our king. They nail an inscription that this is the king of the Jews, and they nail him to that cross. When all the rest of the world is contending for power, he gives it all up. Where is the power? Where is the kingdom? And yet, it is heavenly. When he rises from the dead and he ascends to the throne of God, he's given that kingdom, which never ends, which won't topple like all these others that we see. So that we find when we're standing in that courtroom on the last day and the books are open, we find a time to confess, "I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord." And then we're in the book of life. We're not worried about what is written in our pages because Jesus is our Lord. And he has written our names in the book of life. But even as we say those words, "Jesus is our Lord," our thoughts are betraying us. We're conflicted because we know what's written on our page as we look at the history of our life. As we look at the categories of what we should be doing as Christians, we look at our prayer life and we say, "Well, I've hardly kept that up. I've hardly been devoted to Jesus every day to pray faithfully. And even when I have prayed, so often it's been for selfish things. Or I've been led astray and not even been thought of thinking about what I'm praying. Or so often I don't feel like praying." We look at our vocational life and we see ourselves as fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, children. We see how we've gotten angry with our children, lost our patience. We see as children how we've been disrespectful toward our parents, not caring about what they have to say. We see ourselves as husbands and wives, thrashing about for power. We've entered into the courtroom of our conscience, where we're starting to wonder who is Lord and how we can make Jesus our Lord and what it takes to make Jesus our Lord. Before God, our conscience is an open book. It's like a courtroom. Our conscience doesn't decide what we're going to do. It simply judges what is right and what is wrong. And it leaves us conflicted until one comes on the clouds of heaven and the courtroom is seated and all fall silent. When Jesus enters on the clouds of heaven into our conscience, everything is silent because God has given him the kingdom. A kingdom in which he rules by his own blood. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, "Let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts or our consciences sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." A picture of the sprinkling of blood on our conscience. Or 1 Peter, "Baptism now saves us, not the removal of the filth of our flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him." Jesus has ascended to the right hand of God, and it's the right hand of God which reaches out to lay hold of your heart. Through the word, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, God has cleansed you of all of your sins so that your courtroom decision would be settled and the beast cannot rise up to accuse you and blaspheme you and boast against you because Jesus is your Lord. This is what we need to remember, that he has not become your Lord because you've made him your Lord by your dedicated prayer life, or your clean record of vocation, or your good deeds. No, none of that. What did we just confess? I believe that Jesus is my Lord because he has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He's purchased and won me with his own precious blood. That is why he is our Lord. And when your conscience is accusing you, it's a time to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. The devil hates that. He is Lord of your conscience. He's Lord of Judgment Day, and he's also Lord of all the world. But what does the world see? The world looks out at what's going on, and it's truly conflicted. If you watch the media, the press, news, they're all conflicted about this whole situation. When you're looking at terrorism, or when you're looking at refugees, or when you're looking at our national security, they're conflicted about what we should be doing or how we can stay safe. They're wondering who is the real enemy and who will stand up against them. They see refugees streaming across borders and they wonder which one is the enemy. What color is his skin? What language does he speak? What religion does he follow? They're wondering who will stand up as the nations look for someone to unite us, to come up with a plan of action, to have some answers for us. The courtrooms of this world are conflicted because they can't see what we see. We see the real enemy. Your adversary, the devil, who walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, and yet who also clothes himself as an angel of light. It's not by the color of his skin that we see this. It's by his attacks. He attacks your true national security, your faith. He attacks what would undermine your confidence in whether Jesus really is Lord, whether he really does have control of what's going on. But you can see what the world cannot see. you see the one who comes on clouds, who has died, who has risen, and who has ascended to be Lord of all. He has power over sin, death, and the devil. This is the one who rules all beasts, all nations, all who contend for the kingdom. This is the one who's going to protect your families, who's going to protect you. Because even if sin, death, or the devil should attack you, even in death, he remains the victor. The one who will raise you up on the last day and give you eternal life. When you hear that rhetoric at work or school or home or over coffee about all that's going on in the world, it's a time to confess. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. As the beasts are contending for power, you see the courtroom has adjourned. Judgment Day is already settled. When Jesus died and rose, it was settled. Which means your conscience is also settled. Which means the whole events of this world are settled. He has died, he has risen, he is coming again. The decision is settled. As we confessed, even as he has risen from death, he lives and reigns in eternity. Amen.